Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and it's being credited as President Obama's 3 a.m. moment, a decisive move which has touched the country's patriotic nerve and inspired congratulations from some, but certainly not all, of the president's Republican adversaries. Listen.
And let me just say, as a Republican, let me give the president, President Obama, tremendous credit for this.
It's also a good day for the administration.
And, you know, my hat is off to President Obama.
I also want to commend President Obama and President Bush for all their efforts to bring Osama bin Laden to justice.
We heard Congressman Peter King, former Vice President Dick Cheney, former RNC Chair Michael Steele, and House Speaker John Boehner in that montage. And it might be too soon to tell how Osama bin Laden's death will sway the 2012 presidential elections ultimately, but it is kind of unusual to hear all those Republicans taking their hats off to President Obama explicitly. And as the GOP primaries begin to take shape with the first debate set for this Thursday, who knows, it may alter the field. So listeners, it may have also altered how you see President Obama. A poll taken in late March found that only 17% of Americans called Obama's leadership strong and decisive. Over a third said he was indecisive and dithering. So how do you feel now? Did the announcement Sunday night and the details of how that operation was executed change your mind about the president? Or are you still waiting for news on the economy and unemployment, which is going to overshadow this maybe quickly? Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Does this change your opinion in any direction about President Obama? And as always, a conversation is going on at the same time on our politics website, itsafreecountry.org. Joining me now is Anna Sale, political reporter for itsafreecountry.org. Hey, Anna.
Hi.
So there's been a reaction from nearly everyone, from former New York City Mayor Giuliani to House Speaker Boehner, and the statements seem to be in a spectrum from full endorsements of President Obama's role to expressing gratitude to the military but kind of avoiding Obama's name to giving former President George W. Bush the credit. How are they calculating this politically?
Well, I mean, I think it's just important to say that this is not about whether Obama's going to win re-election or not. This is about how this changes the political moment. This is about looking a week ago, less than a week ago, we were more concerned with Obama's long-form birth certificate than we were with the changes in his national security team. That is striking to me. And so now you
look at— When they came out on the same day.
The same day.
Right, announcing Leon Panetta going to defense secretary, Petraeus to CIA, and oh, by the way, here's the long form of the birth certificate. That was the same day, and who remembers the national security changes?
Exactly, exactly. And so now you see that the Republican field is at this interesting moment where Donald Trump has just been everywhere all the time. He has dominated the conversation about the Republican primary. And so now you see Republican consultants sort of looking in this moment saying, maybe finally we'll see some serious candidates emerge. Maybe someone's going to be able to take advantage of this moment and step up and sort of create, reshape the whole dialogue.
On the birth certificate, I mean, that was all kind of code for, is President Obama really American in the way that, you know, a certain group of mainstream Americans, so-called, think of mainstream America. I wonder if this patriotic moment and the fact that nobody could make an Obama-Osama joke yesterday because it was obvious that one was on one side and the other was on the other side, maybe it changes something about just, you know, at a gut level, the way he's seen in certain parts of middle America.
Well, I think you're right to talk about the birth certificate because that gets down to the question of, do I feel safe with President Obama leading my country? And so now you cited that poll back in March. Over a third of Americans said they considered Obama as a commander-in-chief indecisive and dithering. That is so damning. And then now you have this photograph from the Situation Room where President Obama isn't even in the center of the room, but there is no doubt who is in charge and that he is in command of the situation and that he did make America safer by getting rid of Osama bin Laden.
And listeners, if you haven't seen this on TV or on the web, it's on page F3 of the New York Times today. I assume you could search it on their website, too. I don't know exactly where, but if you have the physical New York Times, the special death of bin Laden section, the F section of the New York Times, has this amazing Situation Room photo with Biden and Clinton and a bunch of other people and Barack Obama as president, exactly in the way that Anna just described, page F3. Mm-hmm. At a bipartisan White House dinner yesterday, the president received a standing ovation when he spoke about bin Laden from both sides, and then he expressed his wish that the feeling of unity continue.
You know, I think we experienced the same sense of unity that prevailed on 9/11. We were reminded again that there is a pride in what this nation stands for and what we can achieve that runs far deeper than party, far deeper than politics.
But I don't know, Anna. We've been here before at incredibly moving moments that unified the country, whether it was 9/11 itself in the most negative sense or something like this, or watching on with awe, seeing Mubarak get overthrown in Egypt, thinking that was a wonderful thing for democracy in the abstract, which moves our hearts as Americans. But the debate about the budget isn't over. People are still out of work. Do you think it's likely that he can carry this goodwill into the ongoing negotiations over spending and taxing, and that it's got any actual, you know, political legs?
Well, two things. First, I thought it was really interesting. Tim Pawlenty spoke in Iowa this morning and did not criticize President Obama in his stump speech. It only came up, he only let loose when he was talking about health care later on when he was responding to questions. So clearly it has changed the debate for this week. But I think what's interesting is Obama being able to talk about a transformative moment about what makes America, America, about us coming together. That is exactly the kind of theme that he's been trying to sort of build his reelection campaign around. When he spoke in Manhattan last week, he talked about the American dream, about making America, America again. And this is the theme that he's trying to work on economic issues. And so it now fits right into that. And then you're, of course, going to have this image this week when he comes to Ground Zero on Thursday of President Obama at this place, our leader. And so certainly this week, it's a transformative moment and we are coming together. How long it will last, I'm not sure.
And people will, with long enough memories, will compare the moment that President Bush came to Ground Zero shortly after 9/11 and this moment when President Obama comes to Ground Zero and you know, at least on some impressionistic level, think who as individuals, which party, if you can generalize to that, seems like the leaders in times of crisis. David in Rockland, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian.
Go ahead.
I actually was an Obama supporter before we got bin Laden. Mm-hmm. But I think that the interesting thing to come out of all of this is the reflection on former President Bush. Because I remember him coming into office when I was 13 years old and the entire dynamic of the country shifting at 9/11. And the response was such a national fear that I'm not sure that it's been completely worthwhile. But to see the sea change in just the emotional state of the country over the last 2 days, I think it does get former President Bush some vindication. And before bin Laden's death, I was on the completely anti-Bush side, and I just kind of want to give a little bit of credit where credit's due. I think it boosts both Obama and Bush's stance.
Very unifying thought from David in Rockland County. Give both Bush and Obama the credit. And, you know, I guess just for the sake of history, and our guest is Anna Sale, reporter with our politics website, it's freecountry.org. Maybe it's just the sake of history thing as opposed to anything really relevant to the 2012 election. But I wonder, will people see this as Obama succeeded where Bush failed to get Osama bin Laden because Bush kind of lost the trail and then called off the dogs in Afghanistan in order to go into Iraq? Or will it be seen as a joint effort over 10 years, over two administrations, including with so much, you know, ambivalence, the kinds of interrogations that are now being described with with respect to getting some of this information out. These are unanswerable questions at the moment, but these are some of the questions.
And the other question I have is for Obama supporters. Now they see that President Obama is willing to act unilaterally. He's willing to go in with a surgical sort of mission and take down Osama bin Laden without Pakistan, without letting them know beforehand. And what does that mean for Obama supporters? That was something that was debated during the 2008 election, whether that was appropriate or not. And so now Obama has said, this is a part of my foreign policy, too. And how does that sit with people?
Jerry in Long Beach, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello, Brian. I'm just a very big supporter of the president. I have one of his campaign signs on my door. And over the past 3 years, many times I wanted to take it off. And boy, am I glad I did. This guy has really shown himself to be a leader. And the thing that showed where he really has class is when I found out that one of the first people that he called up to inform of this operation was former President Bush. I think that shows what kind of leadership we have now. And this is definitely, for the Republicans, a shut-my-mouth moment. There's no doubt about it. This is not going to be an easy election, but I doubt seriously that the Republicans can come up with enough dirty dirt, as they have in the past, to beat this guy.
Well, Jerry, if you think this was a shut-my-mouth moment, you weren't listening to enough talk radio stations yesterday. But, Jerry, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it a lot. And again, listeners, this is a lot of what we're going to be chatting about at our politics website. It's freecountry.org. At noon today, this whole question of rendition and interrogation and the various Bush administration actions that attempted to lay the groundwork for the killing or capture of Osama bin Laden. The previous caller raised whether it was really the harsh interrogations or maybe it was those moments of lack of harsh interrogation that got KSM to produce some relevant information. We'll be chatting about all this with Karen Greenberg from the NYU Law School right after this show at noon on our politics website. It's a freecountry.org and a live online chat. And it's Free Country reporter Anna Sale is with us in the studio now. So let's turn to the GOP's first primary debate coming up Thursday night on Fox. Prospective candidates have until 5 p.m. today to add their names to the debate. Tim Pawlenty, who you mentioned, the former Minnesota governor, Congressman Ron Paul of Texas, the perennial, former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum, and Gary Johnson, former New Mexico governor, will be there. Candidate Herman Cain is another one. It's not a big field, not all the most well-known names that people are hoping to see, but how have those candidates individually addressed the bin Laden operation?
Well, you saw a whole mix among the sort of candidates who have exploratory committees or people who are just exploring at this point and maybe candidates. And there were those who said President Obama deserves a lot of credit. And there were those who hedged a little bit more and said this was a great moment for our military. We thank our military. And so that was the way people registered disagreement with the president, by not explicitly thanking
and
him.
And on this interrogation and rendition issue, here is Santorum, former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum, questioning how the operation came to pass. This is from an event in Iowa yesterday.
I'd love to hear what the president has to say about his thoughts on enhanced interrogation now that his greatest foreign policy victory may come at from the fruit of something that he vehemently opposed.
Interesting. So suddenly this is going to be a topic in the debate Thursday night when it may not have been such of one. Who else do you think might get in by 5 o'clock today, and why are so many people staying out?
Well, it's there's certain thresholds that you have to poll at least 1%, and you also have to be a certain point in your candidacy the way it's organized. So that's gotten people a little flat-footed who haven't gotten to that place yet. Newt Gingrich was a name when I was calling down to South Carolina yesterday to see if he was going to participate. It was floated that maybe he was going to be there, but it's said and reported elsewhere that he's not. So maybe Newt Gingrich will be on the stage. We'll see if people realize this is a moment that they can sort of grasp, because you'll have Obama at ground zero on Thursday, and then you have this first primary debate the very same day. So that's going to be an interesting contrast.
By the way, I mentioned Herman Cain, who's a candidate, and I didn't identify him. He hasn't been in the political sector. He's former CEO of Godfather's Pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And Herman Cain, one of the Republican candidates who is apparently actually running, because you have to declare in a certain formal way in order to be qualified for this debate. And that's why it's such a touchy moment for some of the bigger names.
That's right.
And you wrote about Donald Trump's Twitter gaffes yesterday. Excuse me. He tweeted about a golf tournament before issuing a statement about bin Laden's death. And the president's announcement on Sunday night came close to interrupting Celebrity Apprentice. Is the end of the birth certificate question the end of the Trump campaign? How is he looking a week after that?
Well, it just was very, very striking to me. I sat down at my desk yesterday morning in this new moment, and the last tweet from Donald Trump was pointing to a preview of this weekend's Celebrity Apprentice. And it just was, this is a guy that we focused on during the White House Correspondents' Dinner. This is the candidate that has been dominating all the conversation about the Republican field. And his last tweet is about Celebrity Apprentice. That just was striking to me. Then he went on to tweet about golf. And then he sent out his statement. So if this could be the end of Donald Trump's moment, that's certainly what some Republican consultants seem to be hoping for, hoping that this is going to be that pause button that's going to say, we have very serious issues, very serious threats to America, and we need to have serious debates about the future together. So we'll see how Donald Trump makes it through this week.
We're just about out of time, but Sarah Palin, her congratulations extended to the military, but she did not name the president. And at an event last night in Colorado, she commended the use of force to kill bin Laden while criticizing the U.S.'s role in Libya.
Well, Sarah Palin's interesting. Who knows what role she will play as the 2012 debate continues? But I just saw word before I came into the studio that some of her advisors on national security have left her team. So that's a shakeup as well. So Sarah Palin, whether she will be a celebrity, whether she will be somebody that the media pays attention to but is not on the ballot, she's certainly able to affect the debate.
All right, listeners, you can read. It's a free country. Political reporter Anna Sales. New piece and her whole body of work at our politics website, itsafreecountry.org. Anna, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian.
And again, remember that at noon at itsafreecountry.org, right after the show today, we will have a live online chat about interrogation, rendition, and the death of Obama. Brian Lehrer, the death of Osama bin Laden. There's that inevitable tango coming up yet again. Brian Lehrer on WNYC for something completely different. Stay tuned, because in a minute we're going to launch a collaboration with the New York Times all about spring tweets, the original kind, the bird migration. Stay with us.